Scotty McLaughlin.
Big Jack has driven the goal. What a cracker.
And McLaughlin comes to the line.
Yes.
A 2:03.8.
And Scott McLaughlin puts one on the chin.
Jack puts it through. He's a man for the big occasion.
That is off the scale fast.
Welcome everyone, episode 2 of Balls and Bumpers. Two-time premiership winner Jack Riewoldt and two-time supercar champion Scott McLaughlin are here. Gentlemen, how the world has changed since last we spoke. Jack, hello.
Hello Tim, hello Scott, how are we?
Yeah guys, thank you very much. Good to be on, good to talk to you guys and know that you're all healthy. That's
taking,
the main thing.
Yeah, you're taking social distancing to the next level with us. You've barred us completely. And you're, two states away, so... but good to have you on board, mate.
Oh, I never come down. Anyway, so it sort of works out right.
Thanks for ruining that. Everyone thought we were in the same studio once now, but yeah, you've...
I'm just
away.
Scared
Trade secrets.
Especially when you kick 3 goals the first round, and then we don't kick... Are you leading the Coleman now?
I'm second at the moment. Equal second with a lot of people.
Surprised you fit your head in the studio.
Well, we are in a new studio today, so if we do have any technical glitches,
blame Joey.
Yeah.
It was a damn hot start last Thursday, wasn't it? And then I thought, hello, he's on for 10 here.
It was good. Well, I'll say it was good. It was good to play.
Hodgie was the only spectator in the joint.
Yeah, well, so Hodgie was working for ABC, Tim, is that right?
That's correct.
And you were one of the very few that got into the ground to watch the footy last Thursday.
Yeah, what a weird old night that was. Just on the coronavirus, how are you all coping and getting by in these really weird times we're living through?
Well, you want to lead us away, Scotty? You've been, obviously it's really hurt you hard, hasn't it?
Playing golf and computer games.
I mean, I'm social distancing now with the golf, but no, I think, it's been really weird ever since Albert Park. I've never been home so much in my career. Whether that's a good thing for Carly or a bad thing, I'm still yet to find out. But I'm certainly, it's been a weird thing and something that I've had to really get used to for sure.
It's fair to say you guys are still in the honeymoon period. What about you, Tim? You've got 2 kids.
No, it's tough.
It's tough?
It's tough.
Yeah. Haven't you?
No, I've only had one day of it yesterday, and it's tough.
Carly actually said you look like you lost weight. Is that true?
Bless her.
Yeah.
Just all these things. I'm getting cabin fever. Feeding him, getting cabin fever. I've got to get out and
really
make sure I go for a walk every morning
and in the afternoon.
No, we've probably been going for 3 walks a day, just trying to get out of the house. But it's Yeah, it's bloody hard, but everyone's doing it at the
There's
moment.
There's only so much Netflix you can watch, and only so much esports you can watch. You can't watch my Twitch account all day, and it's tough.
Funny you mentioned that, mate, because you've been getting through with obviously no driving out, well, physical driving, but you've joined Twitch, is it? What's that?
Yeah, so Twitch is a gaming streaming service. And I instead of now just racing iRacing by myself, I can race it with thousands of people online. They can watch me what I'm doing. I've got cameras set up and yeah, I'm a full-time gamer. So, fully partnered up with Twitch and having a good time.
Are there sheets involved in this, Scott?
Sounds like that. Is there money involved in exchanging?
There is shit. No wonder he's Instagramming so much about it.
You are kidding me.
I've got to make my money somehow.
God. No wonder. See, we were sitting down here in Melbourne. Geez, Scott's been really pumping up Twitch.
Isn't he a dork? Why is he tweeting so much about this?
Yeah, what a great guy to just keep getting out there and just giving the fans what they want. But we understand. Now we know why.
No, it's not exactly why, but there is a part of the reason why. Yeah.
All right, how much are we talking?
Nah, basically, so how it works is you get subscribed to by people. So you get half of the subscription pay, basically, between Twitch and myself. but I've only got not that many subscribers, so I wouldn't stress too much.
It was over 1,000
last
time.
And it's like $5 a subscription, so I'm making $2 for 50.
Hey, so...
Hang on, Scott.
That's not subscriptions.
Scott, you can't see Jack. He's furiously Googling how he can get involved in this cash-making...
that is no. Absolutely not true.
So both of your sports, as
you
we see...
You can do that if you play PlayStation and stuff.
Mate, I haven't played PlayStation since I was 13 years old. I actually grew up at one point and started living in the real world.
Oh, okay. Are you one of those wankers?
Yep.
can you imagine him, Scott, a little redhead in Tasmania at 13 playing computer games?
One of my first ever dates with Carly was actually via PlayStation.
Really?
Yeah. We played Gran Turismo.
And she stuck around.
And she beat me. Yeah. And she stuck around. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Poor girl.
All right, Hodgie, ask us, what do you want to know? You're playing journalist today.
So both of your sports are in lockdown. How long do you reckon we're all going to be on the sidelines waiting for footy and supercars and every other sport? You know, NBA, like how boring are our days when there's no American sport to watch? But how long do you think we're going to be in this lockdown period for?
Well, I don't really know. We're saying June at this point in time, but obviously that's all dependent on the government restrictions and stuff like that. For our sport, I don't know what it's like with AFL, but yeah, certainly it's interesting times.
For us, there's the 10-week window that they've given for sides to go away and not be at the football club. So I think April 27th they're going to reevaluate, and then. And then possibly that May 4th start is on the cards, but clearly it's anyone's guess these days. Like in terms of what's the priority at the moment, the priority is flattening the curve has become the sort of catch cry in terms of trying to reduce people getting COVID-19, and I think all sport around the world will be reflective on where their country sits. Once you get it going downwards, the tantalising prospect is to go and start, rightio, it's going down, let's start playing footy again, or let's start playing whatever sport it is. But yeah, you've got to be careful that we integrate properly back into normal life.
So as things stand...
Well, especially with the amount of crowds going everywhere and all that sort of stuff, it's certainly something you've got to be on top of.
So we're recording this March 26th. So the first week of June, Scott, your season is supposed to resume round two at Winton, and that's when they're saying AFL...
What a Caesar and opener.
AFL might return that weekend, which would be round 12. As we sit here March 26th, gut feel, do you think we're... I mean, we're not really any chance to be back in early June, are we?
I don't think so. No, not for mine.
Yeah, a lot of things need to change, but, you know, you just got to... try and hope. Oh, I hope we are for not only for me, but also for our fans, because everyone's deprived of everything a lot right now.
And since last we spoke, it was post Adelaide. You were riding a massive high, Scott, winning the opening round on the streets of Adelaide. Jack, you were in the countdown to your opening round of the AFL season, and it all played out on that weekend at Albert Park. Can you talk us through, Scott, from your point of view? It was that Thursday, day one of the Grand Prix. I reckon you were almost out on the track in your opening practice session. Did you come back in, and did someone say, you'll never guess what, the NBA just shut down? Like, how did that all play out?
Yeah.
And from that moment on, I reckon the world sport changed completely.
100%. I remember going out and practice. Everything was obviously a bit uncertain and all that sort of stuff. And none of the stuff about Rudy Gobert came out or anything like that. And then come back in. It would have been obviously half an hour later. Bang. Yeah, all that stuff had sort of been going on. One of the media guys come up to me. You wouldn't, basically exactly what you said, Hodgie. You wouldn't guess what's happened. And I'm like, no way. Like, that's the NBA. It is probably the biggest sport in the world, barring American football. They shut it down. I could not believe it. I was like, no way. They haven't done that. No way. And it's not that a no way of, you know, it's they couldn't do that or whatever. It was more like, geez, this is actually bigger than everyone thinks. And that was probably the most nerve-wracking part about everything.
And Jack, do you remember that Friday morning the next day? It was supposed to be the day one of the Formula One season with cars out on track. I remember breakfast radio. No one knew whether the event was going ahead, and it must have been a circus, Scott, that I remember texting you. You'd arrived at the track, you were having breakfast, you got in your race suit, the cars were in pit lane ready for your qualifying session. There were 20,000 people around the track at the gates waiting to get in, and it was a bit after 10 a.m. where they actually cancelled the event.
Yep, so basically I got to the track. It was very airy walking in. Like, I've never experienced anything in a racetrack where you just haven't seen any fans or stuff open, like pizza stands or hot dog stands, like nothing was open. And I walked across and we went and grabbed some breakfast before. We actually did our pre-brief before the day, like what was going to happen, what the weather was like, you know, qualifying. We always do that sort of stuff. And then, yeah, I got into my gear, and at that point it was still full steam ahead. And I've never walked across a pit paddock without seeing one single fan. And that was really, really weird. And, you know, walking across there for the start of qualifying, and then obviously got the call up, or the team got told that we weren't running or for the foreseeable future. And, initially I was obviously pretty disappointed. Didn't understand it enough until I probably studied the whole coronavirus a bit more, but it was definitely the right call to make. But it's just difficult at the time to believe that.
So the event's been cancelled, and I think that's probably the directive that's come from state government and working with Formula One. Friday, it was a Friday morning that we found out that Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Raikkonen had already jumped on a flight.
Yeah.
Did you see that tweet? Because there was a picture going around of the flight details that they'd already left at a 6 a.m. flight back to Europe. Had that caught your eye before you went out and all this went down, or was it sort of like after it you saw, oh, geez, these blokes are already out of here, so they sort of knew that there was something in the wind?
Yeah, I got sent that. Just before, like, you know, it all sort of went down, and I couldn't believe it, what had gone on. But I was like, geez, that's just big dog status, isn't it, to just pull out those guns. When I saw the flight thing come through, I think I actually sent it to you, Hodgie, going, holy crap, check this out. And it was just, unbelievable, one of those crazy things. But good on them, you know, they stood up for what they thought was right, and they got home to see their family. They got families and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, obviously, though, that's the thing that was crazy, is that there was a decision made, or people knew of a decision, and it took so long to get that out to the public, which was probably not the greatest thing. And the powers that be were debating who was going to pull the trigger first, because I guess who's going to be liable, and that's pretty wrong.
Were you surprised that both of them were only gold class in terms of their frequent flyer status?
I was surprised, but they are sitting 1A on an Emirates A380, so I'm pretty sure that's a first class seat. So I don't really care. Don't think they care about points.
I think they wanted to get the
Why wouldn't they be like platinum or double platinum?
I think they wanted to get the hell out of the country, and whatever seat was there, they were going to take.
So do they fly private? Did you assume around the, like, when they drive in Europe, do they just fly like a
I think
private?
I believe a lot of those guys do fly private. I mean, Ricardo, I know, flies private a bit, and
What's that? Well, I've never flown private. What's that like, Scott?
I haven't flown private either.
That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. You walk straight into that one. I'll set it right up for you, and you walk straight into it. And now tell us what it was like to fly private, because there's a lot of people.
You have flown private to Tassie. I've seen your mansion over there with your
Tassie
and everything like that.
Mate, there's no such thing as a private flight to Tassie. You're off your head. Tell us what it was like. Now, when you flew private.
From Texas to Australia.
You need like, you know, double the size of the plane for all your heads.
There we go. So where did you park? Did the car park? Because I assume that you didn't drive your own car. Where did the chauffeur park the car when you got on the private flight in America?
Like Vinny Chase, drive, right beside.
No, you drive to a facility that's right next to the private airport.
And last question on this, because I don't want to hand you too much. What colour was the carpet that they rolled out before he got on the plane?
No. Mate, I was...
Shell V Power Red, I reckon.
Shell V Power Red. Yeah.
There was fireworks, but there was no carpet.
Hey, just the last one on Albert Park, Scott. I reckon it was probably about 10 o'clock on the Thursday night when McLaren pulled out of the event when one of their mechanics tested positive to coronavirus. Do you know, was there ever a strategy that, right, this Formula One race isn't going to go ahead this weekend, but we can have a plan B and supercars can become the main attraction. The support categories, the S5000s, the TCRs, the Carrera Cups can step up and have longer races, but V8s will be the star attraction. They'll be having, I don't know, was it ever discussed that 250K races Saturday, Sunday or something even bigger than that to try and save the event, put a crowd in the joint and to actually fulfill TV obligations?
It was definitely discussed within the drivers. I know we talked about it a fair bit. You know, just like, what if we did this and what if we did that? Because a lot of us actually, we probably didn't understand the situation at hand. And we still kind of wanted the race. So I remember speaking to Fabian about it, my teammate, and working that all out. And yeah, it was... I've never, like I said, never experienced anything like it before, but I certainly believe there must have been some sort of plan just in case we could have gone ahead. I think we could have gone ahead, but although the TV is run by Formula One, I believe, and we couldn't run the TV because they had obviously all packed up, so that was probably one reason why we couldn't continue to race.
So the Grand Prix was one weekend, then all attention turned to you, Jack, and the AFL, which was starting the next Thursday for round one at the MCG. Richmond Carlton, you were going to unfurl your premiership flag from 2019. There would have been 95,000 people there. It was that afternoon that the Grand Prix was cancelled where the AFL announced there would be no crowds. And then it wasn't until the next Wednesday evening, and we were live on AFL 360 when Gillen held his press conference. So the night before the season opener, the game you're going to play, it was actually given the green light to play. Like, that must have been such a surreal time to be preparing for, you know, what is almost the biggest game of the year, round one, and not knowing up until, you know, almost 23 hours out that it was actually going ahead.
It was bizarre. Yeah, it was really bizarre. And I think the whole sort of football fraternity was sitting on social media or watching 360 and just basically refreshing to find out what was going to happen. And clearly, there's some big decisions. Was some big decisions to be made, and I just think the amount of time that it took showed that there was, I believe, probably people in both camps in terms of playing yes, and then what are the ramifications if we do play, and then what are the ramifications if we don't play, and it was a bold decision to sort of go against what the NBA and a lot of American sports had done, but I still firmly believe that it was the right decision to play round one. To date, we don't have an AFL player that's got the coronavirus. There's been one staff member from Collingwood who came back and isolated and did the right protocol, but ultimately it got to the point where we're just, in terms of what the government's put in place, and rightly so, that we can't run the game. It's unfortunate because at the moment there's not a lot out there in the sporting world, and we're such a passionate sporting country that some people's lives revolve around it. I know mine certainly does a lot, and not just AFL or all types of sport. And it's leaving our TV screens pretty blank at the moment.
Just talk us through last Thursday, and we all had three different vantage points. Scotty, you were watching on the telly. What was it like, the MCG empty, for a crowd that would have normally had about 90 to 95,000 people to watch? Was there any buzz at all watching on the telly?
Well, I mean, for me, initially really weirded out by the viewer effects. You know how you have the effects on the screen when they kick a goal and all that sort of stuff? You could hear that almost over the commentators. But initially it was weird, but then after it was actually really cool. It was like you're watching your local footy team down the road, just, you know, how they were yelling at each other and calling for the ball. It was really impressive. And the way that you could hear, you know, players' nicknames and, you know, people yelling at, you know, if Koch and got the ball, it was like Koch, Koch, Koch or whatever. And it's really, really interesting. But you missed that. I think the commentators, and you're a commentator, Hodgie, in some ways, you would probably know, but I felt like that it was hard for them to get emotionally entrenched into the game because it was so, you know, hard without the crowd. You know, when someone kicked a goal, you know, Richmond were 30-0 at one point. You know, it would have been going off. The crowd would have been giving them plenty, and to Carlton especially. And, you know, and they didn't really, I felt they didn't really get fully involved in that. But I can fully understand that must be hard to do. So, yeah, it was very, very interesting to watch, for sure.
I don't know if this is going to work, but this is what it sounded like. That was just my recording for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Look at that, Jack. It was, people say, I was like country footy. It actually wasn't like country footy, because at country footy you have yahoos in the crowd, and it's a fun environment. This was like a country training session, because all you could hear was what was out on the field. And then, I don't know whether you could hear, Jack, but you could actually hear the commentary boxes from the radio and TV behind me. You could hear them clearly, the really loud commentators. Could you hear that when you came to the bench?
No, I couldn't hear any of the commentary, but I just think that it was done so much on the fly that I don't reckon anyone had any preparation in terms of, like, we saw, like, we get it that there's no one in the crowd. Like, you don't have to do a cutaway shot of, oh, look, there's no one in the crowd. Like, we got it the first time.
Yeah,
the 50th time, it's like,
yeah,
no shit. Yeah. There's no one sitting in the crowd. Like, we know that the game is being played in front of no one. But
exactly.
Like, if we come back again and if we do return for season 2020, I reckon the TV will be better prepared. So maybe we can have some manufactured noise and whatnot. But I don't mind the idea of just going and doing the ballot, having a ballot of 100 people to go to the footy. You don't sit them anywhere near each other. They enter through different gates at different times, 50-50, and you plonk them up in the stands and you mic them up and you just hear what they've got to say. Because you like, at least that'd be entertaining as well when the footy's not going. Like, you want the yobbo yelling ball when clearly it isn't ball, or it's been doing it all day, umpire. Rather than me have to do it out there on the umpire.
Some of you blokes saying that.
So what happened?
Some of you blokes were saying ball at one point. It was bloody funny.
Yeah.
When you kick a goal and you kicked a few in the first term, you started on fire.
Oh.
Did you have to catch yourself to, like, I'm putting my hand up and I'm going to celebrate, and then you think, oh no, I don't want to look like a complete wanker. I want to look like half a wanker. Or
I got him.
I got him. Scotty got you.
Oh, are you saying you led me into that one?
Pretty much.
What was it like? It was just, it was just bizarre. Like, it was soulless for me. Like, it was just like you are mindful of, like, not acting like a tool.
And knowing that probably 2 million, you know, there was 2 million people watching last Thursday. The ratings were phenomenal. In the second quarter, when you kicked the goal, you ran into the open goal square. Did you try and pinpoint the one dude behind the goals to kick it to him?
Nah, it was just, I suppose it's just natural reaction to just go up and give a little fist pump, and then
that's when Scotty got you.
Yep, Scotty videoed that one. So, it's just, I suppose we're just in a time at the moment where we've just got to find a way to get through. And if it's no crowds, then unfortunately it's no crowds. If we can hopefully get back to having footy in front of the passionate fans and members that support every club, then let's bloody get it going.
So, Scott, I watched Jack a fair bit last Thursday and just thought, he's not a bloke I would want to play football against, because he's just a sledger from start to finish. Oof. And there was a moment, Scott, when Jack was actually on the bench and Levi Casbolt took a great mark for Carlton. He was kicking from probably about 45 metres out. And Jack was adamant. He was trying to get one of his teammates to get to the bench so he could get back on the ground. He ran on the ground at full speed and then started sledging. And it was probably 65, 70 metres away from Casbolt, who was lining up his shot.
It's not sledging.
That's,
but you were just yelling
awesome.
Out like it was... You clearly, I mean...
Well, you could hear what I was saying. What was I saying?
Well, I don't want to... I'm not swearing on Balls and Bumpers.
No, I didn't swear.
Yes, you were.
Well, no, say it.
Say it without swearing.
No, no, you tell us.
Well, I only said...
You say it without swearing.
You tell us and I'll correct you with
I only said, these are the ones that you should be kicking Levi, like, because I know that he's not a... he hasn't been the greatest set shot on goal. He's worked on it with, I think, Sav Rocker. And I said, oh, I just remind him. I said, oh, these are the ones you should be kicking, Levi. Like, you're only 10 metres out, slight angle.
From 70 metres away, you're saying this.
Well, there's no crowd. You can do this sort of stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, it's...
That's awesome.
We had to fill the silence.
Did you find yourself coaching other people, like, down from the other side of the ground?
More than ever. Yeah, I reckon I got a mark in the goal square because of the fact that Shea Bolton picked it up and I just was screaming goal square as loud as I possibly can as I was heading back there. And I got no doubt that he heard me and sort of kicked it there and then I did the rest.
No, you handballed off.
Handballed off.
We want you to be a four-time Coleman medalist, Jack. You can't be giving off
goals. Might win it with five this year.
Don't believe it.
Don't be handing off goals in the goal square.
Might be winning it with the single figures. Nah, it was... What did you think, Hodgie? You were there. Was it as shit as I thought it was?
No, it was fun for 5 minutes and then the novelty wore off and I was like, this doesn't work without crowds.
So what did you say on, like, I assume the ABC were crossing to you in the game. What were you saying?
No, it's just the interchange stewards were really, really vocal that they could, you know, you didn't need your runner because you could actually say, hey, Koch, come off or whatever. But it was more just painting the picture of, it was soulless, the place. Yeah. Like, it's normally... On that night before, as we said, you know, 90 to 95,000 people would be there. But tonight, it's round two tonight, Collingwood-Richmond, after the start both clubs made, there would be 95,000 at the G. And unfortunately now it's not even on. So it's just even the cafes, the bars and the MCC members, you know, the Percy Beams, Frank Gray-Smith, like they would be heaving on that night. And there just wasn't a soul there at all. You know, the entire Great Southern Stand, not one person there. The entire Ponsford stand, there wasn't a person there. You know, the only people in the Olympic stand were the media up in the boxes. So it was such a weird night. So that was probably more the involvement I had just to try and translate that.
So would you, so let's say that we get the all clear in, whenever we do get the all clear, and we can restart season 2020, would you put it off until we can have crowds returning or would you just... back to what we did at round one and roll the product out?
No, I fear we won't be getting crowds probably for the rest of the year. So I think if it goes ahead, there won't be crowds. And that would probably make for a final series with no crowds and maybe a grand final day at Marvel Stadium if the MCG is unavailable. If we do get back playing footy, that you might have a grand final at Marvel because the MCG is booked for the World Cup at that stage if we go beyond, which we're obviously going to go beyond October. That could be an empty stadium, which, I mean, that would be the most surreal thing in footy history.
Here's another question I'll pose to you, because at the moment, it's the most topical issue in Melbourne and in probably in AFL footy is pay cuts and cuts for everywhere. It's been reported that the AFL are going to approach the Western Australian Football League to use the money from the West Coast Eagles. West Coast are such a phenomenal product over in the West that they have got about $45 million in the coffers, that they've got a membership cap, so there's a wait list to get on their membership.
It's like the MCC.
Really?
Basically the MCC. They are as good a product as you can find in the AFL industry. Do you think that if they take the money from the AFL, take the money from the Western Australian Football League and the West Coast Eagles, that they should get a clause written into the contract in regards to where the grand final should be held if a Western Australian team finishes first and would, say, fall into the deserving rights of hosting a grand final?
I don't think it'll happen in my time because it's contracted to the MCG for, I think, the next...
Contracts are worth nothing at the moment, Tim.
Yeah, but there is a contract for the grand final to be at the MCG for the next 50 years, and I see that this year they could change, A, because the World Cup already has a booking on the venue and cricket as well, Cricket Australia, but... If there's no crowds there, there's no great need to have it at the MCG. So I could see this year being an asterisk, but everything else would go back to normal. So I like your idea, and WA people would love that, but I can't see it happening.
Yeah, okay.
Can you?
I'd be exploring it. Yeah, I'd certainly be exploring it in terms of if we're going to give up something and something that the football clubs worked hard for, we would like some sort of opportunity in return. Now, whether that's in 15, 20 years, whenever West Coast, if they do, I mean, they're a powerhouse at the moment. If they do finish high up in the ladder and deserve that opportunity, maybe it is a chance. Like, are we going to be seeing the Cats hosting finals down at Cadinia Park? Like, wow. There's a real opportunity at the moment for I suppose that the league is up in the air so much that nothing is really off limits at the moment.
I think that's just for this year, though.
Yeah.
Can you? I mean, it's amazing that if July they say, right, we're coming back July 15, and this is the new look schedule, and it'll be footy starting on a Monday night, and they'll be playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, four or five games Saturday, three or four on Sunday, and then start the next round on the Monday again. So,
is it feasible at supercar level? Because this is the reason that they have shortened the game, because there was a lot of commentary around why are they shortening the game, and it was for planning for the fact that we inevitably were going to have a break at some point, that they want to cram games in, and there's been the floated that the game could go right up to December. We could have the draft on Christmas Eve just to get it going. But is there the possibility in Supercar, Scott, to run every weekend? Can we go bang, rightio, let's punch out. We know how many races we're contracted to. Let's look at the best way to go around the state, around the country and knock them over. And get drivers to go, rightio, we're going this weekend. Then we're going straight away to the next supercar circuit and going again. Is that a possibility?
I think if that was planned properly and, you know, say you had, you know, your Perth and then you went sort of straight to Adelaide because it was sort of on the way back or whatever, because it's tough, obviously, with the teams, half have been Melbourne, half being in Brizzy. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like we're not built like NASCAR. We've not built to race every weekend. Our cars need servicing, etc. It's hard on teams. But look, I know motorsport wise, people would do anything to, you know, to make sure, you know, we continue racing and we make a good product. Yep, it's going to be tough. Everyone understands that, but the amount of, you know, the guys at the team that just want to go back racing is unbelievable. And I think, you know, I think we could do it. Whether the calendar allows it and the time frame that we have allows it, and if they can do it and agree, get everyone to agree to it is another thing. But you know, from a driver's perspective, that's probably really exciting to race every week, that's for sure. But it's going to be a busy end of the year regardless, I think.
Are you worried about where Supercar sits at the moment in terms of, it's so heavily reliant on crowds, and the broadcast deal comes up at the end of this year, that, look, are you worried for the future of supercars at all, really? Like, it really is a crucial time for the sport at the moment.
I think I'm nervous for everyone. Like, I mean, it's not just supercars, it's AFL. I heard the other day that, you know, AFL's been put back 10 years with all this, with the Tasmanian team potentially not being, you know, made in 10 years, and we can probably speak about that soon. But it's hard. I think for teams that have sponsors that rely on 14 races or have paid for 14 races, that's nerve-wracking. You know, for events, for governments that are paid for our races to come there and we can't. But look, luckily it's not just affecting our sport, it's affecting others. But it is certainly, yeah, it is, like I said before, it's nerve-wracking times. But I think we'll get through it. You got to look at it, some positivity. It's just a matter of working through it right and making sure everyone's on the same page, and hopefully we can all get through it.
Just on the layoffs and where clubs are, and Jack, you spoke so emotionally about this on Tuesday night, what it was like to watch, you know, people you love at the footy club be told on Monday that they didn't have jobs anymore and either sacked or stood down indefinitely until football returns. We'll get onto that in a moment. But, Scott, where is, like, your team, for instance, is it still operating, or have you got guys off unpaid, or have they been stood down, or how is it working in supercar land?
So I believe that they are... people are just taking their leave at the moment, understanding that it's going to be a pretty big end of the year. yeah, towards the end here. So I think, I can't, comment fully what's going on in regards to things like that. But at this point in time, people are just on leave and using that up at the moment.
And Jack, just the heartbreak of Monday, checking in with people you love and adore and who are there solely to try and make you a better footballer each and every weekend, that to hear that they've lost their jobs, it must have been gut-wrenching for Brendan Gale and Peggy O'Neill and everyone to make those calls. And then for you guys to actually have to touch base with them and check in on them and make sure they're doing okay.
Yeah, I suppose it's the time. The one thing you want to do is you want to go around to these people's houses. You want to catch up with coffee and have a beer and just give them a hug. Yeah, just give them a hug and just make sure that they're okay. And it's a real tricky environment. I reckon just sitting after 360 finished on Tuesday night, and Hodgie, you're under the pump as well through Fox Footy, and just sitting there and watching the crew pack up. Cameras and microphones, etc., and just they know that shit. When are we coming back?
Yeah.
When are we coming back into the organisation? It's a massive part of people's lives and livelihoods. It's a real shift, and I can only speak from those two industries because they're the only two industries I'm involved in. But clearly, you look at the numbers of the people that are lining up at Centrelink, going to the MyGov website, trying to find some sort of assistance, that is a massive, massive, massive issue.
Yeah, it's the same with Scott. With, he would know the same cameraman, the same producers, the same staff from their broadcast team that go round to round to round that are all indefinitely off work, like all the cameramen and floor crew and control room crew at Fox Footy who are now mostly off work. And, who knows what the future... I'm not sure there's many more volatile industries right now than the media, where what's going to be there, especially the sports media. So,
yeah,
tough times ahead. Scott, I just want to raise the IndyCar deal with you, that you were supposed to be running in May at Indianapolis. I likened it to, you're like little Willy Wonka with the golden ticket, that Roger Penske loves you and he was taking you to America. You're going to live this IndyCar dream this year. You're going to have this crack at running a race at the greatest raceway on earth. And unfortunately, that's off for the immediate future. And I know people have got bigger issues at the moment, but that's a real kick right in the pills, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you look at it and it's frustrating because it's like far it had to happen this year in some ways. But, it's the same for a lot of people as well. I pinch myself, I get to do what I love and all that sort of stuff, but it's been very, right now it's just a wait and see type thing for me, whether they reschedule stuff and whether that fits in my calendar and whatever. But the main thing is, I've got to stay healthy and fit and ready to go whenever the call might be. I'm not looking at it as a downer. It's definitely go through peaks and troughs, especially with the borders closing and stuff. It's obviously you just got reading between the lines. It's going to be difficult if anything changes by May, that's up to the government. But I'm sure if we can and we find a way of me being able to race, they'll make it happen. But I know that I've got a great job down under, and I've always said that this was an opportunity. I don't think the opportunity will go away. It's just a matter of rescheduling and going again. And that's what I'm really pushing for and why I'm training so hard still.
So just on America, obviously your new wife, Carly, she's a New Yorker and her family's over there. Like, I'm sure you know more about their state of affairs than any one of us. It seems like it's going to get much, much worse in America before it gets better. Like, what are you thinking on the American motor racing front? Do you think they'll be back racing NASCAR or IndyCar anytime sort of in the next, this year or in 2 or 3 months? Like, what sort of time frame do you have any idea?
No, I really don't know. I think they're on a complete different lockdown to us. They're fully locked down, especially where Carly's from in New York. Things are crazy over there. I mean, there was a photo the other day, Times Square, there was not one person in it. That's phenomenal. It's like the I Am Legend. I don't know if you watched that movie with Will Smith. It's kind of like that. It's one of those deals where it's the same as what we're doing here. I think it's just a matter of making sure everything's safe for, to go back racing and we can make it commercially viable. And as what they're doing is they're doing the esports stuff, and I think that's the right way to go about it, because they're still making themselves relevant and something that probably footy and other category or other sports can't do is do the e-series sort of stuff, because we can actually compete and race pretty awesome things and still keep our sport relevant within the public and maybe get new fans as well. So that's exciting and something that we've got to really try and get behind.
So I'm glad we've sort of covered esports a little bit, but it is a viable option for motorsport. What does that look like going forward now for supercars? I think it's been reported that there may be a have we got a series going? Like, I know that you're just new to it. What's the landscape there?
Well, yeah, there is a E-Series going on. So there's one for supercars starting, I think it's April 8th. So all the supercar drivers on social media have been setting up their new simulators, and a lot have been, that's the only way we're getting our fix in some ways. So we're keeping ourselves relevant. It's going to be on Fox Sports. It's KO as well, all broadcasts. And obviously I'm also going to stream it on my Twitch account. So it's, I guess we're taking on as a new way of interaction with our fans, something that I think is a good thing, but it's probably the best case we've got right now in this point in time. But I've said it a number of times, and I'll say it again, it's just like we've got to take this opportunity to expand our sport, because with footy, like you guys down and soccer and everything, cricket, all that sort of stuff, it's that sort of stuff is going to be, hard to continue just to watch replays on. People are going to be really struggling to sort of, get into the replays and all that sort of stuff. So we've got to try and keep our sport relevant and really get behind it. And with the esports, we can do that and race and try and expand our sport to a lot of different people in the world.
It is a new frontier for a lot of people, and in terms of using technology to its greatest fulfillment. One thing I've got a question on. Do you know what the aero package rules are on esports? Is there anything there that we might see some complaints down the line, or is it all parity as possible?
No, I think it's all fixed setup, so everyone runs the same setup.
So this could be as pure as it gets.
We should be fine, Jackie boy.
This could be as pure as it gets.
He thought he had a real zinger there for you, Scotty.
I was like, oh, geez, he's getting good with questions. it could get really, really good.
Do we need a lift, guys?
Well, the lift here didn't work today.
No, the lift didn't work.
What's
Joey had to save us. We'll talk, thanks to Dan and Em, the crew at ARB Trelgan.
Yeah.
Time for your top five, Jack.
Yeah, it is. It's time for my top five.
Hey, Dad, in the olden days, did your car have a fridge and canopy?
No, son.
What was it like?
Well, the Esky would leak on hot days, the tray would fill on rainy days, and the suspension was so rough, things would go flying out the back.
But now we can get a canopy from the new car shop?
You betcha, kiddo. We can get all our ARB accessories straight from the dealer. Just gotta ask.
Order your ARB accessories with your new car today. Talk to the team at ARB Bairnsdale and Traralgon, or the new Sale four-wheel drive centre. Just gotta ask.
Rightio, bit of a lift, bit of a let's get up and about. And I will say, for the crew down at ARB Traralgon,
can you come and fix the lifts here?
Yeah, come and fix the lifts for one. There might not be a better time to go down and see him, Hodgie and Scotty, because if you're thinking about self-isolating, why wouldn't you go out into the bush and just, live off the grid for a month? And if you want to have everything you need to live off the grid, you go and see the crew down at ARB Traralgon. So they are fantastic. Well, I've top five, and obviously at the moment everyone's sitting inside doing diddly squat. One thing that is a part of, I love, Hodgie, I absolutely love this, Scotty, is board games. I'm not your Twitch man. Like, I'm not your PlayStation.
Will be.
No, I won't. I definitely will not be. I can promise you one thing. I won't buy a PlayStation over the next period of time. There is nothing surer than me not buying any gaming console. Top five board games. Hodgie, have you got a favourite?
It could be a pretty lean 6 months ahead, Jack. Never say never.
Yeah, I know. Hodgie.
Especially if Scotty can get us some free stuff.
Oh. No. Hodgie, you got a favourite board game?
I used to play Rummy Cub with my nan, so I'd probably say that. It's my clubhouse leader.
What about you, Scotty Mac?
I love a Monopoly game where families get broken apart and re-put together.
I hate Monopoly.
Did you drop an F-bomb
there? Yeah, sorry. You might have to bleep that one.
Leave it, Jack.
I despise Monopoly. That doesn't make it into my list here. But so top five board games. This one here is questionable with social distancing. Number five, Twister. You know that one?
Can't do it. No way.
You can't play a Twister?
No, you can't do it right now, mate.
No, 1.5 metre social distancing.
Does that apply for like parents and partners and... Like, if you live with the people...
Newly married people would be difficult now.
Yeah, so, Scotty, I'm tipping you're not social distancing at the moment. Could you not just have a two-person game of Twister?
Every night, Scott and Carly.
Yeah. Depends. Close on or close off.
Oh, come on. A bloody G-rated show, even though I just...
Just dropped the F-bomb.
Whoopsie. Rightio, so that's for number five. I like playing Twister. Number four... Pictionary. I think that.
Yep, good game. Pictionary. Don't mind that.
Very good game. I quite enjoy that one. Are you any good at Pictionary, Hodgie?
No. And Monopoly, we always end up in blues. It's bad.
Monopoly always ends up in fights.
Does.
Yeah.
And you throw the thing and.
You throw the toys out of the cot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Number three.
Like you playing footy.
Pretty much.
Makes sense.
Number three, Test Match Cricket. Did you ever play this back in the day?
I've never played that. What's that?
Oh my God. Maybe they didn't
Get off the eSIM and go and play.
What do you mean? Test match cricket's the greatest thing of all time. Get
Carly onto it. She'll hate it.
You got to go and Google this, but I'll give you a bit of a picture of it. You got a green bit of like felt, so that's your oval. It's set up like the MCG, like any sort of cricket oval is. And then you have a little metal, like a little ball bearing as the ball. And the players are all set out like little figurines. So you've got guys that are catching. And if you hit it between their legs, that's out. So it's like they're catching there. And this little mechanical arm bowls the ball down. So it actually simulates the bowler bowling. And you can bat with a batsman who can actually hit the ball. So his bat moves with a little bit of a trigger. So the bowler's with the trigger and the batter's with the trigger and you go out and you play Test Match Cricket, hence the name. Are you interested in that, Scott?
Sounds extravagant.
Hey, these are lean times.
I'd rather play Hungry Hungry Hippo.
Is it true that your simulator that you sit in, I heard you on RSN the other morning, Scott, that's about $25,000?
What?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Who paid for that?
Not me.
Ching it, Joey.
No, don't even. You just said not me, so that's all we needed.
But how did they get that into your head? I mean, it's like a chassis on a race car that sits in, what is it, your spare room or?
Yeah, so SimWorks Simulators are the ones that build it, and they bring it up from Victoria. They actually make it in Lilydale.
Oh.
So in Melbourne there. And it's a full chassis.
All I can hear is freebies. All right, number two. Hodgie, it's your favourite, and it's one of my absolute favourites. Carly and I love playing this. You called it Rummy Cub. Is that right? I would have called it Rummy King.
Back in Warrnambool, we called it Rummy Cub.
But, that explains a lot. I would call it Rummy King. I think Carly actually calls it Rummy Cub, but Rummy, which is... Have you played Rummy, Scott?
No.
What?
How's his top five going, Scott?
No, well, this is... Do you know what this shows? This
show is, just wrapping this up.
You live in an absolute bubble. You are the bubble boy. You live in a bubble. You don't play board games. You're off your head.
I do play board games. I just play certain games, not your crap.
Oh, yeah. Hungry Hippos. Well, grow up, mate. Seriously. I think that's got the operation. Age limit. You're only... Oh, my God. You just said operation.
Yeah.
Oh, you play Hungry Hippos in operation. Fair dinkum.
It's grouse.
Will Hodges plays those games. He's three. All right. My number one game by so far is Connect Four. Thoughts? Have you played Connect? Surely you've played Connect 4.
I've played Connect 4, yes. Yeah. Played Connect 4. It gets boring after the first game.
Have you ever played... Have you ever been to Thailand and played Connect 4 down Bangalore Road?
I've never been to Thailand.
Some of the best Connect 4 players you will ever play against are in nightclubs in Bangalore Road in Thailand. They're unbelievable at Connect 4.
Well, that was a really bad top.
Ah, it was a good one.
Jack,
just because you,
you've got a bit of time on your hands, just work on your top five.
Hodgie,
for
you said
next week.
You've led me out. You've thrown me under the bus here because you said it was a great idea to do board games.
Well. As opposed to not having anything, so good we point. Need to fulfil our obligations.
Yeah, good point.
Which is now leads us to Ricky Bobby. And Scott, I think we've got one here. I just sent it to you on WhatsApp. It was a dark day in the front of the Herald Sun on Wednesday, February 26.
Oh, God.
James Bond appeared on the front page
of
the Herald Sun. And we'll put it up on our socials because you deserve to be whacked.
Mate, it was on the socials. We don't need to put it up there again.
You know what's so good about that? All the people that listen to the show also message me and Hodgie like countlessly, like, this is a Ricky Bobby, this is a Ricky Bobby, what is this bloke thinking? Like, unbelievable. I was like, well, when you were taking that photo, did you think, oh, this is going to be a sick shot? Like, I'm going to look cool. Or, like, what went into your head? I hope you got paid billions of dollars.
Yeah. Billions.
No, that's our next question. How many sheets or Crown Casino gift vouchers or dinner vouchers did you receive?
I'll do you a deal. I'll answer how much I got paid for that if Scott tells us what Penske gave him for his Christmas, for his wedding present.
Nah.
Ah!
Oh, come on, Scott. We need to know this.
It wasn't even a Ricky Bobby.
What did James Bond get?
Nah, I'm not telling you. I told you what the deal is. When he comes clean and tells us what Penske...
I get $2 US stream on Twitch.
No, I don't care about that. I want to know what Penske gave you for your wedding present.
I've given you something. You got to give me something back.
No. All right, I'll let you know when you let us know.
Can you talk us through? So who did the Herald Sun speak to your manager, and then your manager had to sheepishly ring you and say, you never guess what the Herald Sun want to do. They want to dress you up and make you look like James Bond.
No, I got...
And you go, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Absolutely shafted on that one. I got shafted on that one.
I'd love to do that.
No, I got...
How'd you get shafted, mate? You have to get into a suit in the middle of the city.
And go and stand next to a helicopter.
Hey, I got shafted, all right?
Ridiculous sunglasses on.
Yeah, well, the sunnies I wasn't rapt about, to be honest, but everything else I was pretty happy with.
Has there been a red-headed James Bond, Scott?
Daniel Craig's got...
Shermanator.
Daniel Craig's got sort of reddish hair, hasn't he?
So you think you're Daniel Craig now?
No, I never said that. You said that. Calling you Robbo with the way you're acting. You're just manipulating.
You can't talk to you about player wages without you cracking it.
Twisting it.
Oh, actually, one thing about the Robbo thing. How was it after the show when you guys spoke?
He texted me and I didn't reply. And then he brought it up next time I went in.
No, he brought it up the day off. He goes, you talk to Jack. Is he really shitty with me? And I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, I texted him. He never got back to me, so I think he's shitty with me.
Yeah, good. I thought it was only going to be in the football magazine, and then, yeah, I wasn't wrapped when I woke up and saw it on the front page of the Herald Sun. But I was on, yeah.
Hang on. So you did a photo shoot thinking it would be only in a football magazine.
Well, that's what I got told.
You had to buy a Herald Sun and then pay $5 for this magazine.
That's what
it
I got told.
Only in that, and then the Herald Sun puts it on the front page of them.
Yeah. That's the definition of being shafted. Oh. Hey, can I Ricky Bobby myself?
Yep.
So I've... Hang on. What I want to do is... Don't laugh. Don't be a little smiling like a Cheshire cat over there, Hodgie. What I want to do is I want to use our Facebook page and our amazing listeners to the advantage of people that are maybe doing it tough at the moment, and especially small business, because we have been sponsored by ARB. We've also been sponsored by Jason from FM Finance. Like, they've been amazing for us. And at the moment, there's small businesses being hit harder than most. Just due to the fact of people not getting out and about and everything sort of going online. So what I want to do is I want to get people to post in about their business on our Facebook page. And next week, or next time we do an episode, which I'm hoping to do them weekly because I've got nothing else to do, I'm just going to plug everything. I'm just going to do like a minute here, like maybe a minute before... one question and just have like a minute of crazy plugs and just going to plug everything. And then what we're going to ask is we're going to ask the Balls and Bumpers family, if you have the ability to support these people and support local community, they might not be in your area, so they might not apply to you, but if they are in your area, just give them as much support through obviously what is a trying time at the moment, because small business is what makes the world go round. Not big business, Tim. Small business is what makes the world go round.
Can we just go back to that front page picture?
No, Scott,
I'm not sure if you saw it, but you put your hand in your near your chest. Like, are you about to pull a gun out, or what is that supposed to replicate?
Finger guns. Now that's past the point. All right. So if you want to have your small business plugged, it doesn't matter whereabouts in the country you are, then get on our Facebook page, write it on there. One of the three of us will find it, and we will and I'll proceed to try and plug as many as possible next show.
It's a great gesture, and it was your gesture. Good on you, Jack. But you can get, if you're a small business out there, hit us up on socials. There's especially the Balls and Bumpers Facebook page.
Instagram, DM us.
You can get Richmond Premiership superstar Jack Riewoldt or supercar legend Scott McLaughlin to plug your business live on air. I think that's a really nice thing for you to do.
So ARB, we love them. Don't forget about that. And Jay Easton from FM Finance, sorry.
That's why that's my segment.
Yeah. If you're from BHP Billiton, don't even bother calling or send us a message, because we've got
naming rights sponsorship.
We'll reverse plug you. We'll bag you out, all right? And this is the other thing I was thinking of, Hodgie. What I might even do as well is I might write a jingle for one of the sponsored plugs. So I'm going to pick one out, and at the end of the next show,
and you're going to sing a jingle.
I'll sing a jingle for that product. I'll plug everyone else, and I'll sing a jingle for one specific small business.
With your hand in your pocket, pulling out a gun.
We're on air.
Okay, time now for Jason from FM Finance, the crew up there in Brisbane. It's Scott's Multi.
If you're looking for car, boat or motorbike finance, then talk to FM Finance. With more than 10 years of experience in helping Australians get the loans they need, our process is fast and easy. We also offer business loans for new equipment or machinery, or personal finance for holidays or home improvements. Come and talk to Jason and the team now. Find out more at www.fmfinance.com.au and call us on 1300 363462.
Here it is, guys. Some extravagant markets going on at the moment.
It's bad. It's pretty lean.
It might have to be extravagant, but no sport on earth.
Pretty lean.
So thank you for the support from Jason and the team in FM Finance. We go through them for any finance you may need. But look, some markets here, boys, I really want to talk to you guys about. Obviously, esports is a big thing. Ukraine don't really care about the social distancing, and now Australia is betting on the weather. So we've got some three markets here that can be very interesting. So I've taken a match bet, $3.70 paying Asura in the League of Legends game today, playing at 12 p.m. our time, taking them for a win against the Team Dynamics.
So hang on, what's that? What's League of Legends?
I don't even know. I've taken them, so you can be sure it's a safe bet. Then we've got table tennis in the Ukraine. Like I said, obviously they don't care about social distancing and all that stuff over there, so it's full on playing sports. So we've got Pavlo Vasilchuk and Ihor Kuznetsov.
Where are you finding this?
Don't worry about that. I've taken Pavlo at $1.72.
Good bet.
Just look at the weather today in Adelaide. It looks like it's going to be over 24 degrees today. So the over-under of Adelaide weather is 21.5. So I'll be taking, that's at 1:30 p.m. I'll be taking Adelaide to go over 21.5 for the weather. So that multis up to about $5.75. So if you want to throw a little, sheet at that, it's certainly a sure thing.
There you go.
That's Scott's Multi.
Scott's Multi. And the motto of Scott's Multi, the more you put on, the more you get back. You haven't had a winner yet, so that's not true.
And he had a bad start to
the last one. I missed the last one by 2 points. 2 points when the NBA was still going on.
You either win or you lose. You lost.
It was close.
The TAB aren't going, hey, good try, mate. Here's your money back. It doesn't work like that. Ah, dear boys.
He lost a bet last Friday night too, Jack.
Yeah, I saw that. Pies v. Bulldogs. Didn't put any money on the line though for that one because he's weak. But been an interesting show, boys.
So what's the plan, Jack? We're going to go weekly or every couple of weeks? Or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'm happy to go weekly. It's
you're doing nothing else.
I'm doing nothing else. It goes up to where the old mate can get off the Twitch and give us an hour of his time. But
I could probably do it while I'm streaming, but
we could actually do a show while you're driving.
Twitch.tv/ScottMcLaughlin.
Oh, don't do it, mate. Seriously.
We'll have to. We should get on and have a look.
Yep. Don't forget, throw your small business on the socials.
So next week we'll come to you with episode 3 of Balls and Bumpers. There'll be Jack and Scott's sponsor plugs, so do send them in to our Facebook page at Balls and Bumpers.
Or our Twitter.
We'll talk about keeping fit and Twitter. Yeah, thank you. We'll talk about keeping fit in these lean times when you're self-isolating.
Random shit you're Googling. I wouldn't mind hearing stuff like that. Like conspiracies, all that sort of stuff.
And how much screen time you're having.
Jack Revolt's Google searches have gone up. He's been home.
And he still bought your top 5 board games as his top 5. Yeah, you need to work on your top 5, Jack. So have a good hard look at yourself.
Yeah, I will. I've got plenty of time to do it. Terrible. And plenty of mirrors.
Terrible.
All right. Scott, Jack, Joey, take care of yourselves. And we'll see you soon.
Stay safe, family.